Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and director. I'm back in the studio with my friend and co-worker and co-host of this podcast, Rhett Simpkins. Rhett, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you, Philip?
You know, pretty good. It's been a busy season as we get ready for this film festival. And so, as you know, we've been debating whether we ought to even do a podcast this week because, for one, time is very, very limited. And number two, we haven't been hearing from podcast listeners. That's not entirely true, because actually I had a Facebook message from a podcast listener this last week, is very encouraging, letting me know that they're faithful listeners and it's been having an impact in their lives. So that's what we call ministry fuel. You know, all engines need fuel. And, you know, whether it's a ministry or a family or any kind of relationship or a podcast, you know, you need a little fuel. And over the years, as I've ministered across the country and traveled around with my family, there have been many times where I have felt like I just want to throw in the towel. You know, what good is this making? You ever feel like that, Rhett?
Yeah, I have.
And, you know, during any of those times, has anybody ever come up to you and just said, Rhett, you know what? Keep doing what you're doing. And how does that affect you?
Oh, man, it just, yeah, like you said, ministry fuel, it really gives you kind of a sense of purpose. It's like, yeah, I am doing something that's valuable in the kingdom.
So, yeah, the power of encouragement. And sometimes that encouragement is just because people are encouraging. And I think there are times when that comes about because people are being led by God's Spirit. You know, they know that God knows. You just need an encouraging word. And so, you know, don't underestimate the power of just a little word of encouragement like what I received this week via Facebook. And then this morning, I received this link from one of our podcast listeners, John Clay. John Clay's a friend of mine. He was the cinematographer for Captivated, and we spent months traveling around the country together. Then months after that, in post-production together, and we've done some teaching together and worked on other small projects. And so John Clay is just a great guy. Really appreciate him, and I'm so appreciative anytime when someone sees something in the news and that they think is pertinent to this this podcast or to our ministry and sends a link. So I want to encourage you. To do the same thing as well. So if you see something, go ahead, send us a link. So this morning, I sent a link. Did you get that? I forwarded it to you, Rhett.
Yep, I got it.
Okay, so before we introduce what this is about, I'll say this. I spent a little bit of time traveling in the last couple weeks, making some trips, and I had to, you know, take some airline flights, which I don't particularly care for. I prefer to travel with my family in the RV, but once in a while it happens that I have to fly. So, you know, it's a common occurrence now, you know, when you get on the plane, you know, they don't even need the TVs anymore. You know, it used to be a big deal to install TV screens. Well, you don't need TV screens because everybody brings their screen with them. And for the most part, a lot of people are on their devices. Now, actually, I should maybe upload this picture to our podcast. So remind me, Rhett, and maybe I'll upload a picture. I actually took a picture on the plane, and it was someone reading a newspaper, and they were about two rows up in front of me, and the newspaper article had to do with some of the problems with technology. And of course, the people on their iPhones and iPads weren't getting that good information. The guy with the newspaper was getting that good information. So the guy who didn't need it was getting the information. And I thought that was pretty neat. So I got my phone out. I don't know if the picture turned out well or not, but we'll try to post that in this week's podcast. But that was two rows ahead of me. Next to me was the typical adult man, you know, at least 35, maybe 40 years old, playing on his phone, the video game Thumb Warrior, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm always curious, like, so what, you know, it's usually they're watching movies or they're playing games. And I thought, I wonder what it is, as I see his thumbs flying across the screen. And it was this ridiculous-looking game of a flapping bird. And that's all I could tell. It's like, okay, so he's navigating a little flapping bird through some pillars or something. And I didn't really see what the big deal was. I had no idea what the game was until I get this, we see in the news this week. So tell me, what was in the news this week?
Yeah, apparently the developer of Flappy Bird, which I was unaware of also before it broke this week, he decided to pull it from the App Store and not make it available anymore.
Now, I mean, he was making, I'm looking at this article, it says it was generating a reported $50,000 per day in ad revenue.
Oh, so I can't even imagine. My goodness.
He looks, they got a picture of him here too. Dong Ha.
Your guess is as good as mine on that.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Or maybe that's, let me see, is that his name or is that the person?
Yeah, it is.
Yep. Okay, so we'll just call him Dong Ha. I won't even try to pronounce his last name, but he looks pretty young. Looks mm-hmm. like a really young guy. $50,000 a day in ad revenue. So why would he just pull his Flappy Bird video game app out of the iOS store?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I saw this article come across, because I, you know, check the news every once in a while, and I was not interested in it at all. And then when I got this link, it was really interesting because it was like, whoa, you know, why would somebody do that? And then, you know, he goes on to explain in a couple posts online why he did.
So let's hear it. Drum roll.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he apparently realized the addictive nature of the game, and he said he thought it had become a problem. So he thought it would be best to take it down.
That's amazing. It's almost hard to believe. You know, yeah. You kind of wonder, is he really serious? I mean, or is this some sort of marketing ploy, you know? But I'm going to take him at his word that it really bothered his conscience. Mm-hmm. You know, that he's seeing, like many people are today, that there's a growing problem with people wasting time and being distracted, and also the addictive nature of some of these things. And I remember just looking at that article there and reading how, you know, he developed it for just, you know, something you would do for a few minutes just to relax and kick back, not something to get addicted to, not something mm-hmm. that would just completely captivate you all the time. So it's a very, very curious thing. I don't know if this young man fits into this category, but for years I've been talking about a media threshold saturation level, you know, where I believe it's put the potential is that young people, even people that are completely engrossed in all of this media, may yet come to a place like the hippies did in the late 60s and 70s, where they realize that all the sex, drugs, and rock and roll just don't have meaning in life. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not satisfying me. I'm not fulfilled. There's got to be something more. And I've wondered whether or not that a large portion, or maybe even a small portion of this new generation, that's all they've known is the internet and iPhones and screens everywhere. If they won't reach this, what I'm calling a media saturation threshold, where they realize, wait a minute, what else can you throw at me? And I'm realizing that this is empty. It doesn't mean anything, and it doesn't do anything for my soul, which is empty as well. And there's got to be something more to life. And I hope that this app developer, as well as others, will begin to move beyond that reality of, wait a minute, this is a problem, which he did recognize, and begin to search the soul to say, there's something more that inside of me that says there's more to life. And of course, we know what the answer to that is to be reconciled to your creator, to the God that created the universe and created you and I. And we've been separated from him because of sin and mm-hmm. that corruption. And that's one of the things we see at the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they walked with God. They talked with God. And we, you know, we'd say, well, that's great. And the skeptic might say, you know, so you believe in a God that communicates, then why doesn't he just show up and say something? You know, why is he so silent? Well, God is not silent, but he is not present in the same way he was present at the beginning. And that's because of the separation that has been, this gulf between us and our Creator due to sin, because he is a absolutely perfect, holy, righteous God. And we are a corrupt, corrupted creation due to sin. And there is a separation. And so we see in the early chapters of Genesis that Seth, you know, that one of the sons of Adam and Eve, it said when his son was born, Enosh, so his son, at the time of Enosh, it says, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And this often goes overlooked. You know, what does that mean? They begin to call. Well, they realize God is not, I mean, he's not showing up. He's not present right now. He's not walking in the garden like he used to. Even when Cain killed Abel, or even prior to that, we see God interacting with Cain. And so we have a problem here. And God is still communicating. He's still wanting to communicate. And we know that his way of communicating began to shift through speaking through prophets. And so by his Spirit, he would speak through prophets and communicate truth. And ultimately, he sent his son Jesus and spoke to us through him. But we know him to be a communicating God. And we have the Word of God. We've got the Bible. We've got Jesus Christ. We've got the Holy Spirit present. And we have a God who still wants to continue to speak to us. And so on Sundays, I've been in our church, I've been teaching through 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 12 where it's talking about the gifts. But it starts out where Paul is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about some of these things. And he mentions about how they were formerly, as Gentiles formerly, they were serving what he called dumb idols. And there's a contrast that he's making there. Look, you used to serve dumb idols. Mm-hmm. They don't speak. And we have, like in the Psalms, we have other examples in the scriptures where God is speaking through prophets and saying, look, these idols, they have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have mouths, but they do not speak. And yet people are worshiping them. And the contrast there is we the true living God does speak, does see, does hear, and is worthy to have our attention. And so all of these little distractions, and as this app developer is sensing, you know, wait a minute, there's something wrong with people just getting addicted to a silly little game on a smartphone, you mm-hmm. know, a flapping bird game. There's more meaning to life. I hope in my prayer is that he and others will begin to sense a call, you know, that drawing to God, and that they will search that out and search for truth, and I believe we'll find it through Jesus Christ. And you wonder, when we talk about this media saturation threshold, Where is the point where this generation wakes up and says, you know, enough is enough? I mean, what else can you send our way? Well, there are still developers trying to push the envelope and the next new thing. So there was another article we saw recently, and tell me a little bit about that. It had to do with some new technology for gaming.
Yeah, you get quite a contrast here from a silly little game on a, you know, mobile phone to this virtual reality that a company called Oculus Rift is producing. And a reviewer of the product wrote for Forbes just talking about how amazing the technology was, and how, and here's a quote from him, he says, "We're going to need a lot of therapists specializing in virtual reality withdrawals." He says that was his initial thought after testing out a newer version of this virtual reality gaming system, which he says in his article has come a long way in the past 6 months since when he first reviewed it and tested it out. So now we have, you know, video gaming systems that are so lifelike and so realistic that now he says, you know, we're going to have some problems And, you know, I don't know if he's really seeing down the road what really could come of this, but at least he's making a reference to the fact that he thinks that this could become so popular, so amazing to people that they are going to become addicted to that as well.
I think he's right. This seems like such an immersive technology that there are going to be people that will just, I mean, we already see that, you know, mm-hmm. some like World of Warcraft is an example where people get so immersed in the game that they begin to have a hard time functioning in reality because the game is so much better in their mind, you know. Now, just to kind of describe this, what the new Oculus, what they're calling the Rift Crystal Cove prototype, is basically a set of goggles that you put on that have a way to view your environment electronically. But those goggles are sensitive so that as you move your head, the screen, you know, what you're seeing moves. So you basically have a virtual world that's created no matter where you look, you're immersed in this. You combine that, you know, with some of the other technology like the Microsoft Kinect technology where it's reading your, you know, that reads your movement. So you can imagine now that you can create a digital environment where everywhere you look and every movement has a response. And the difference is that you can now change what that environment is. And in this case, it's going to be a lot of violent games. It's going to be other things that we won't mention here that that are going to be stumbling blocks to people. And this is what happens. This is even what happened with film early on, is that when you have corrupt mankind getting their hands on a medium with corruption, they're going to use it with corrupt ideas in mind. So the idea of filmmakers going like, wow, you know, we can now take our imaginations, which are corrupt, and we can present them on screen and actually see them come to life. And so this is the next new wave. I mean, this is coming, and it will sweep the gaming world and just even beyond gaming. This is going to be a virtual reality, this idea of being able to immerse yourself into a completely concocted world, but your brain will so think you're there, you know, because all of the senses, you know, it's converging. It's quite frightening. I mean, it's amazing technology, no doubt. And I'm certain that there is probably some good use that you might be able to use this technology for the good. But that's not what what's driving this technology is not, hey, let's find some really meaningful, helpful purpose, whether it's in the medical field, whether it's in research or science, or, you know, what this is being developed for is video games. And so that's a challenge that we have that's coming down the pike here. And it's going to be one more thing that will distract young people from the real meaning in life. It'll distract them from God. And you know what? It's been a while since we've played an excerpt from Captivated, but I think this would be great to hear from my friend Kevin Swanson and what he had to say about escaping reality. And now, mind you, as he was sharing these things, we had yet to know about this new technology that was going to ramp up this whole idea of escape. So we'll close this podcast with Kevin Swanson.
The escape ramps from reality are everywhere, and we have way more escape routes than we've ever had before. We have young people playing their computer games, escaping into the world of the avatar. And this is 20, 30 times worse than it was in the 1970s. You remember in the 1970s when we had one computer game, that was Pong. I didn't know anybody addicted to Pong in the 1970s. Beep, 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 beep. It was hard to get addicted to a game like that. That was back in the 1970s. Well, now, 40 years later, there are hundreds of times more men addicted to these games. This is what was going on in the breakdown of the Roman Empire. It's what's going on now. We've got a problem far worse than anything we saw 30 to 40 years ago. And the reason is because, again, this is what is happening to postmodern man. He's abandoned his seeking out of meaning in materialism. He's seeking some kind of escape from meaning, escape from purpose. And he's finding it in all of these escapist routes developed for us by computer game manufacturers. And these things are providing more and more opportunities for men to do what they want to do. They want to get away from reality. They want to escape from the real issues of life. And because of that, it's going to affect our very civilization, even as it affected Rome. Getting away from reality is getting away from God.
Thank you for listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. We have just a handful of episodes left until our one-year commitment of weekly podcasts is over. We are prayerfully considering how best to continue, so if this program has been helpful for you and your family, please let us know. Email your questions, comments, or words of encouragement to podcast@mediatalk101.org. And be sure to visit mediatalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources.